Please could you take your Bibles and turn with me, first of all, to the 23rd Psalm. It's on page 548 of the Bible. The 23rd Psalm, that well-known passage. And could I encourage the boys and girls, maybe those who can't read, to listen to what we're reading. And just to think, as we're reading through the 23rd Psalm, is David a young boy when he's writing this? Or is he an older man? And then as you'll be listening later on, maybe you can be thinking about the four different things that the sheep need to be free from in order that they can rest. So the 23rd Psalm, this is God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then turn over with me to the New Testament, to just a few verses from John chapter 10. The Gospel according to John chapter 10. And that's on page 1044. And we're going to read from verse 9. John chapter 10 at the 9th verse. And this is Jesus himself speaking. John 10 at verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling, that means a hired person, and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his own holy word. Do please take your Bibles and turn with me to that well-known passage, although I imagine some of you know the verse that we're looking at today off by heart. But it's good just to have the psalm in front of you. Page 548. I'm just going to start with that question that I mentioned earlier for the boys and girls especially to think about. And that is, what age do you think David is here as he's writing this psalm? Is he just a young shepherd boy in his first days looking after sheep? Because certainly the words that he uses here are easy enough for any boy or girl to understand. However, it sometimes takes a long time to be able to say deep things in simple words. I think that David's not so young here. I think this is David as a much older man, looking back at his past life and tracing God's presence with him all the way. When we're young, the sun shines brightly and there's nothing we think we can't do. But the sun isn't always shining brightly in Psalm 23. For some reason, in verse 3, David's soul needs to be restored. He's got into trouble of some kind and he can't get himself out. In verse 4, there are dark shadows, and David maybe even has a brush with death himself. In verse 5, there are enemies in the background. In fact, I think that David is writing this as the king of Israel. He is the one God has called, God has anointed as his chosen shepherd for his people, the flock of Israel. And yet, what is David saying here? Is he saying what a strong shepherd, what a caring shepherd he is in Israel? No, he's not. There's not one word here of boasting about himself. Instead, David is saying, with all his power, with all the people under him, that he still needs a shepherd, that he is still a silly sheep himself. If you want to follow Jesus today, there's no room for pride. You have to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Now, I said there's not one word of boasting from David about himself, and that's true. But I didn't say that David's not boasting at all. He is. He's boasting about his shepherd. As the king of Israel, he's saying to the kings of all the nations around, "The Lord is my shepherd." You don't have anybody like this to look after you. Well, is that how you feel about God today? About Jesus? That you want to boast about him to people who don't know him? Chelsea scraped through to the Champions League final the other night. For most of the match, apparently, they were prisoners in their own half, just trying to stop Barcelona scoring. They hardly had any shots on goal themselves. But to read the reports the next morning, you would have thought they'd won a war or captured a kingdom. The Chelsea team hasn't saved any of us here from the Prince of Evil or from eternal death. But Jesus has, for every believer here. Maybe sometimes we're quicker to talk about Chelsea than we are to talk about Jesus. How often do you give him the praise and the recognition he deserves? And as we were seeing last week, Jesus only wins the right to be our shepherd in Psalm 23 because he has endured the agony and the anger of God on the cross in Psalm 22. He is worthy of our praise. He is the Lord. Now, here's just something to test you a wee bit. Can you remember what that name Lord means? Remember, there were three words that all begin with S that try to explain the meaning of Lord. Do you remember any of them? No, not Swift.
Savior.
Savior, that's one. Yes, Savior. Anything else?
Self-centered,
good, Eileen. Yes.
I'm reading.
You're reading? Well, you've got the notes there, that's good. And he's always the same. Always the same. Self-centered, always the same, and the only Savior. Let me just remind you of those again. Self-centered doesn't mean selfish. But he is centered on himself, because there's nobody greater. Not to praise him, not to give him first place in your life, is wrong. He didn't need the wood of the bush to go on burning. He doesn't need anything from us. He has eternal life in himself, and that's what each one of us needs. So we need to come to him. He's always the same. That's what that name means. I am that I am. He doesn't change. Like the flame, he goes on and on. He doesn't depend on us, but we are depending on him for everything. Do you know how much the sheep depend on the shepherd? They need the shepherd to show them where the grass is. They need the shepherd to look after them when they're sick, when they're giving birth, when the wolves are about. And the third S tells us that they need him to save them. Jesus is the only one who can save the sheep from destruction, because he's the only one who has given his perfect life for sinners, for silly sheep. Do you know anybody else who has done that? Is there anybody else like this Lord? So that's who King David is boasting about, the Lord Jesus. With a shepherd like that, he doesn't need anything else. And that's what I shall not want means. And from verse 2 on, David paints a number of pictures with words to show us all that Jesus does for his sheep. What belonging to Jesus really means. And for now, we're just going to look at verse 2. And verse 2 tells us simply what Jesus the shepherd provides. What Jesus the shepherd provides. And there are three things I want to mention. One broader thing to do with the whole psalm, and then two narrower ones to do with verse 2. So the first thing, Jesus plays the major role. Jesus has the main part. Now, when you hear certain Christians talking today, it can make you cringe, because they're full of talk about themselves, about the decisions they've made, about the praise songs they like, about the things they're doing for the Lord. And that's not what David is talking about in this psalm. In verse 2, for example, does he say, I was smart enough to find some really tasty grass. I managed to come on some lovely sweet water. No, he doesn't. He's not looking so much at the sheep. He's looking as a sheep himself at the shepherd. The shepherd plays the major role. And do you notice all the he's in the psalm? All the different things that Jesus does for the sheep. He finds the good pasture. He takes the sheep for a drink. He restores the sheep. He leads them in the right paths. And then in verses 4 and 5, David speaks straight to God. The he changes to you. But the message is the same. You, Jesus, are with me in the dark. You prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. Jesus plays the major role in every one of these actions. So can you see how the job of a shepherd, especially a shepherd of people, is a full-time job? Jesus doesn't hire the sheep out to anybody else. And that's why we read a few verses earlier on from John chapter 10. So just keep your finger in Psalm 23 and turn over to that passage in John 10. John 10, on page 1044. Just look at verses 12 and 13. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Someone who doesn't own the sheep doesn't have the same attitude when danger comes. All he's worried about is saving his own skin. But just look in verses 12, 13, 14 and 15. There's one action word, one verb in each of those verses that tell us of Jesus' major role. In verse 12, the word is own. The hired man doesn't own the sheep, but Jesus does. Jesus owns you, believer. He has made you, and you have accepted that. Look at verse 13. The word in verse 13 is care. The hired man doesn't care about the sheep, but Jesus does. He has come into this world to show us his Father's care. Look at verse 14. What's more, Jesus knows the sheep. He is intimately involved with us. What we do, what we think, what we fear concerns him. And in verse 15, best of all, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Who else but the pure and loving shepherd Son of God would do that for you? This psalm, coming back to the 23rd psalm, the psalm tells us that Jesus provides for the sheep. He protects the sheep. He leads the sheep. He guides the sheep. Do you know each of these things in your life, believer? At one point, Jesus looked out on the people, and we're told he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And such sheep don't do well. They've no one to feed them. They've no one to tend to them. They've no one to rescue them. They're open to all the wild animals that come along. If you're in that position today, you need to keep listening. On the other hand, if you say that Jesus is your shepherd, then please appreciate him for all that he does for you. Jesus plays the major role. He takes great pains because he cares for the sheep, because he knows us and he knows just what we need. So secondly, Jesus provides rest. Jesus provides rest. Look at the first part of verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now just note the order here. This is the first detail that David gives us of the shepherd's care. You see, before we face the valley of the shadow of death, before we find ourselves surrounded by enemies, God wants us to rest in him, to feed on him. And that's why we have the Lord's Day as the first day of the week, so that we may rest in Jesus on this day, so that we may build up our reserves on this day before we go out into the world in the rest of the week. Now, as I've been moving around the north this past week, as I've been even in the Republic this past week, I've seen sheep everywhere. And the little lambs seem to be everywhere. But not once Have I seen any sheep or any lamb feeding on or lying down on anything except nice green grass? We have plenty of it here. And that's what's different about this psalm. Where David was a shepherd, there was very little green grass. It was much more like what we were singing about in that first psalm. A dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Where there's not much soil, never mind grass. And where you could fry an egg on the rock in the hot sun. In such hostile country, the shepherd needs to know where the green pastures are. Indeed, the shepherd needs to do something about creating those pastures himself. By clearing away rocks, by pulling up roots and tree stumps, by ploughing the land, by preparing the soil, by planting what will feed the sheep. He makes me to lie down. Sounds a bit like a stern parent sending his child to bed even when the child doesn't want to go. He makes me to lie down. But that's not really what it means. It means that the shepherd creates the conditions for the sheep to lie down in peace. Sheep need to be free from four things before they can rest. And Jesus frees believers from these things. The first thing a sheep must be free from is fear. Sheep are timid animals, easily excited. If a person they don't know comes near them, they get up to see who it is. If a strange dog or if a fiercer animal comes into the field, their ears will go forward, they'll start bleating, and soon they'll be away. Their only form of defense is running away. Aren't we Christians sometimes just the same? Fear can certainly chase away rest and sleep and peace of mind. Fear of an exam in the morning. Fear of a doctor's appointment. Fear of a difficult meeting. Fear of the future. When Adam and Eve realized they had sinned against God, what did they do? Did they wait for God to come and meet them? No, they went and hid themselves in the bushes out of fear. What did Jesus say to fearful, stretched out people? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If your Savior died for you, then is there anything he will send into your life that you should fear? We need to put our faith in Jesus into practice when we're afraid. So that, as David says in that psalm we've just sung, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. For a sheep to lie down, it must also be free from fighting. Did you know that sheep have what is called a butting order? And at the top of the butting order is often an old mother sheep who likes to chase the younger mothers and their lambs away from the greenest and the softest grass. And if the shepherd goes into the field and sees a number of sheep standing up together, he knows that it's one of these bullies that's been butting the sheep and causing trouble. And he takes steps to deal with that. But surely people in the church don't fight, do they? I would say in most of us believers, our pride is strong. We don't like someone doing something better than we can do it. And if someone does, then we're jealous and we start to butt and to disturb the peace. You see, we've got our eyes off the shepherd. We're more worried about our praise, about our position. We need to be more concerned about what Jesus thinks of us than about what anybody else thinks of us. Because isn't he alone the door to the sheepfold? Free from fear, free from fighting. Thirdly, to lie down and rest, sheep need to be free from flies. In the heat where David minded the flocks, flies were a real problem. All kinds of insects could buzz around the sheep's head or actually burrow into the sheep's skin and disturb it. The good shepherd will make sure that the sheep are dipped often and that there's shade for them to lie down to keep these pests away. And I would say that flies are probably what annoy believers most of all. It's not the big things like global warming or Islamic terrorism. Those don't keep us awake at night, really. It's often the small things that keep niggling us, that keep bugging us. That word is actually used. Like a particular person who seems to have it in for you. Or some particular bad habit that somebody else has. Such things can get under our skin. Maybe we need to spend more time considering our own sins, our own bad habits, and how we annoy others. Maybe we need to be more amazed that Jesus the shepherd would have anything to do with us when he is perfect and we are far, far from. We need to ask Jesus to dip us, if you like, as the sheep are dipped, to pour his Holy Spirit into our lives so that these bugs actually end up bringing us peace. And the last thing the shepherd must do to make the sheep lie down in peace is to free them from famine. Sheep won't rest if they're hungry. And the shepherd, writing about these verses, writing about this particular verse, says, "No sight so satisfies the shepherd as to see his flock well and quietly fed on rich green forage, able to lie down, to rest, ruminate, and game." Jesus has done much to create these rich pastures to feed our souls. He is the Word of God himself. The word that God spoke into the minds of those who wrote the Bible, like Moses and David and Isaiah. And Jesus has kept that word pure, has kept that word intact when people have tried to destroy the word. And he has helped men to translate that word into English for us. And he has bathed this book with his blood, because each page points to the life of Jesus and to his death and to his victorious kingdom. There is lush food enough here to keep every one of his sheep spiritually healthy till the end of our days. But what if Jesus is not your shepherd? What if you're a sheep without a shepherd today? Well, then you have no rest. You have no cure for your fears. Fears about death, possibly. Fears about judgment. You have no one to feed you on strong, wholesome truth. Maybe you're weary trying to work your own way. As you would look at your life honestly, you know the restlessness of a guilty conscience. You've sinned against God, and only Jesus can still that restlessness. Well, why don't you simply respond to his invitation? Why don't you come and tell him about your sins? Tell him about your fears. Tell him about your hunger. He's inviting you today to come to him and find rest. Jesus plays the major role. Jesus provides rest. And lastly, Jesus provides refreshment. Jesus provides refreshment. The rest of verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, those words may sometimes have puzzled you. It doesn't mean he leads the sheep alongside the river, but a certain distance away from it. It means rather, he escorts me down to the still waters. And it said that sheep won't drink from a rushing, racing stream. Jesus knows where the still waters are. And that shows that he knows just what we need. And he provides it. How close, how personal he is. And this is where it's best to keep the whole verse together. Because the whole verse is talking about the green pastures and the still waters, the food and the drink. The grass is his word, if you like, and the water is his spirit. Without God's spirit, you can't digest his word. You can't even understand his word. And that's why we need both. We don't need not just the Bible, but we need God's spirit in our lives to understand his word. Often in sheep country, in the early morning, the dew is still on the grass. And the wise shepherd makes sure the sheep are up early so that they can eat and drink at the same time. What great value there is in being up early to spend the first moments of the day with the shepherd, being refreshed by him. I realize that we're coming to the Lord's table next week, God willing. Could I encourage each believer here, each one intending to eat and drink at his table here next Sabbath, to be up early this week, enjoying the dew and the nourishment of that still hour, examining your heart to see if there is any wicked way in you. Jesus provides his table to refresh us. Could I just ask you what your diet consists of day by day? I don't mean by that what you eat. I'm not terribly worried about what you eat. But what you read and what you look at. Is it a diet of women's magazines? Is it a diet of computer games? Is it a diet of war movies? Is it a diet even of Christian books? When did you last read a whole book of the Bible at one sitting? These are the green pastures, watered by his Spirit, designed to convict us, to correct us, to teach us, to train us, to encourage us, to refresh us, and to fill us with joy. This is what Jesus provides for us, to save us and to feed us. Sadly today, many people have turned their back on the Bible and they've cut out for themselves cisterns that hold no water. May you instead know the Lamb of God who shepherds his people as your shepherd. May you know him leading you to living fountains of waters in this life and then in the next. Let's stand as we would pray again to God. Our Father God, we thank you for all that Jesus provides for believers. We pray that you would help us believers, even this week, to be up early seeking refreshment from your word, looking for comfort, looking for challenge, seeking spiritual food for the day, wanting the rest that Jesus gives, wanting the refreshment and the peace that come from him alone. Lord, help us to examine ourselves, to make sure we are trusting in Jesus and living for him. And Lord, we do want to pray for any still outside the sheepfold. Help them to see there is no real refreshment, there is no lasting rest until they come to Jesus themselves. We pray that you would help them to do that, or to talk to any of the elders here today about that. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service by singing part of Psalm 34 together. Psalm 34, on page 63, we're going to sing stanza 5 to stanza 9, and we sing to the tune Evan, number 85. And at the very beginning of this portion, there is an invitation, a bit like Jesus' invitation to come to him. The invitation here is, taste and see the Lord is good. And as we would read on and sing on, stanza 6 talks about lions. The young lions may be strong, may be worthy of respect, but the young lions have nothing compared to what believers have. And if you just notice as we sing these other stanzas, all that believers have because of Jesus. Stanza 8 talks about a pure life. If we're in Christ, then Christ purifies our tongues, helps us to live for him. We have a relationship with God in prayer in stanza 9 that other people just don't have. We have pastures, we have waters that other people can only dream of. The question is, do you have these things? Have you tasted and seen for yourself that the Lord is good? Let's praise his name.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, who trusts in him is blessed.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.